Proverbs 17:15 says, "He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord." Well, today we're going to give you an update on an important legal case. A ruling has been handed down which certainly reveals the judge who issued it to be an abomination to the Lord. As far as I'm concerned, it proves that much. This judge justified the wicked and condemned the just. But that's the alarming trend in our justice system in recent years. We may not be near as far gone in that regard as some nations, but we certainly stand at a perilous crossroad. Now, cases like the one we are about to report on are very important to Christians, or should be. I can't stress that enough. So often Christians get, you know, they get fired up about something, and then all of a sudden, before the battle's over, they just walk away, and the people they were cheering on are left all by themselves. They're not being prayed for. They're not being supported. They're not being encouraged. I guess Christians just lose their focus, or, they just get tired of the battle. I don't know what it is, but these sort of cases are so important. We're talking about, I want to stress, what we're talking about is religious liberty, and in many cases, the free course of the gospel. Now, not all religious liberty cases have to do with the free course of the gospel, but whether the issue is either or both, we must pray and we must stand against all encroachments on religious liberty, even if the persecution is directed against the religion we despise and battle against. If it's the expression and promulgation of religious beliefs and opinions in the public arena, without force, without physical violence, without true disorderly conduct, without immorality of any kind, then we must stand against government interference and restriction, no matter who that is directed against. Now, clearly, we need to be very concerned, and most concerned of all, about threats to the liberty we have to share the gospel and the duty we have to share it. We ought to be praying every week in church, just what Paul asked the Thessalonian Christians to pray for, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Our update today takes us back to the city of Philadelphia. Most of you know the background on this case. We've covered it well on Heart of the Matter because we believe it's a very important case. On October 10, 2004, 6 men and 5 women were arrested while standing on the public sidewalk, handing out tracts and holding signs with biblical text on them. Now, this took place at a sodomite carnival called Outfest in Philadelphia. Outfest had been underwritten, and remember this as we talk about this case, with $10,000 in taxpayer funds. The event was organized by Philly Pride Presents, Inc. Now, what happened there? As we said, these Christians were arrested. First, they were confronted by a militant mob of homosexuals known as the Pink Angels. They blew loud whistles in the Christians' faces, carried large pink signs, stood in front of the Christians, blocked their messages, blocked their access to the event, took away their freedom of speech. And while there were others standing by, other sodomites screaming obscenities, then the Philadelphia police, under the direction of Inspector James Tiano, I believe that's his name, Chief Inspector James Tiano, who is the city's police liaison to the gay and lesbian community, the police refused to take any action at all. As the Christians are being attacked, they're being followed, they're being obstructed, they're being harassed, they're being shouted down, they're being cursed at. Even though here the Christians are respectfully trying to cooperate with the police, doing the best they can to obey orders to move here or there, you know, short of being just directed out of the event. They were trying to give where they could, but still keep their witness. Well, then the police finally did take action, but it was to arrest the 11 Christians, not the screaming, I would call them homo-fascists. So there were 11 Christians arrested, including Michael Markavich, who was leading them. Michael heads up a ministry called Repent America. Now, after spending, Michael and his friends, after spending 21 hours in jail, then the Philadelphia District Attorney, Lynn Abraham, charged them with Pennsylvania's hate crime law. It's called ethnic intimidation, and also charged them with a number of other felony and misdemeanor charges. I mean, it was shocking. It was just shocking. It was a fire bell in the night, and we reported on it. Now, if they would have been convicted, the Philadelphia 11 would have faced up to 47 years in prison and $90,000 in fines. I mean, it was a shameful moment in American history. Now, these charges were finally dismissed by Philadelphia County Court of Common Pleas Judge Pamela Demby, I guess is her name. Michael can correct me. He'll be with us in just a second. She dismissed them as being without merit. It took quite a fight, but then they got to a judge that actually ruled on the facts and the law. Then subsequently, on October 21st, 2005, the Philadelphia 11 filed a federal lawsuit against the city of Philadelphia and Philly Pride Presents, Inc. for violations of their civil rights, and I say rightfully so, and I'm glad that they did. Michael Markavich, appreciate you being so patient here, waiting to come on. Can you review for us the elements of your lawsuit against the city of Philadelphia and also Philly Pride Presents, Inc.? I mean, what did you have going for you from a legal standpoint?
Well, I just want to thank you for continually covering the story. It is very important.
It is.
The situation on October 10th of 2004 was extremely troubling. We had a militant mob of homosexuals, as you noted, that were surrounding us, and they were harassing us and trying to drown out our message. So what was interesting, on Friday, January 19th, the United States District Court Judge Lawrence F. Stengel granted summary judgment to both the City of Philadelphia and Philly Pride Presents in the federal court lawsuit brought by our group. So this decision was quite remarkable in the way that he had worded it, because he actually noted in his opinion, which we don't disagree with, is that there is no constitutional right to drown out the speech of another person. But it was almost like an insult, because he was saying that that was what we were doing, while it was actually this group of homosexuals that had surrounded us and were trying to block us and blow whistles, and none of that's uncontested. That's what this group was doing.
But you had a video, right?
Threw that in.
You had a video.
Yes, we had video footage of this, and there was no question about it. It was the homosexual group that had organized this effort to block us and to drown out our speech. So that was a very interesting notation in his opinion. So I don't know what that means necessarily outside of the fact he was just trying to turn the table on us wrongfully.
What a wicked man. He was trying to find some basis in law to rule on the side of the sodomites. And so what he said is, those 11 of you, a number of women, in fact, who were holding banners with biblical messages and texts on them, handing out tracts, did you get to do a little preaching before you were arrested, or did you even get a chance?
Very little. There was an opportunity to speak prior to be put in the police wagons and taken away. Just declaring after we were singing, Blessed be the name of the Lord, we were singing, and then we were just taken away not that long after we arrived. So there wasn't much of an opportunity to minister to the people in attendance.
All right, so if this was a typical sodomite event, it was loud, it was boisterous, it was raucous, it was probably deafening, the level of noise and everything. Plus, these people are screaming at you. And so this judge turns around and says there is no constitutional right to purposely drown out someone else.
Right, he said there is no constitutional right to drown out the speech of another person. And that was our message to the police the entire time. I'm in the video footage, and the judge clearly saw this. I'm asking the police to do something about this group of people who are blocking our message, that they're holding up pink styrofoam boards, and they cut them out in the form of angels, and they're trying to block our signs, and they're blowing the whistles, and we're getting shouted down. That's exactly what's happening. We're getting shouted down at this event where we were there to minister to the people. And this judge makes this notation in his opinion as if that's what we were doing, when it was actually the homosexual group doing it. But the decision goes even further, and it talks about the fact that our arrests were lawful because we did not leave according to the instructions of the police. They told us to move, and we didn't move in the direction they said. We moved in another direction. And that's really what we're concerned about here, is because they were telling us that we needed to leave because of how the homosexuals were reacting. They were trying to keep what they called peace and order, but they were using the heckler's veto. They were saying because this group of homosexuals were getting mad and upset, that the police had the right to move us somewhere else. And this is a very damaging decision, because what it's basically saying is there is no First Amendment rights anymore. If you want to silence another group of people exercising a message in the public forum, all you need to do is become upset and start making noise, and the police can just remove you. And that's contrary to other cases that have been decided.
Oh, this is huge, because you've hit a number of points here I just want to briefly comment on. First of all, the sodomites have no constitutional right to scream obscenities. You have a constitutional right to preach religious messages, is how the court would look at it. They'd phrase it that way, a religious message, religious opinions. The sodomites, there is no constitutional right to play loud music and dance in the streets and so on and so forth and do the things they do. There is a constitutional right to preach the word of God on the public sidewalk, in the public square. Secondly, so they have elevated this speech of the sodomites, which it doesn't even come under constitutional protection, above truly constitutionally protected speech. In fact, they've done more than elevate it. They've just squashed constitutional speech in favor of the sodomites. Secondly, you know, you brought up the heckler's veto. Well, it is settled law. A long train of court cases, federal and Supreme Court cases, have referred to what has become known as the heckler's veto and said, you know, you cannot stop free speech due to hecklers not liking it. That would be a veto by the hecklers. And I mean, Michael, I've studied the cases. I've been enough of these cases myself. You can just get a book full of cases that would support your position. And this guy just turned around, turned it all on its head, and just issued this decision.
It's absolutely disturbing, and that's why we must have this overturned. But there's other components that are equally as disturbing, and one of them being is that the Philly Pride Presents organization had a permit for the city to block off the streets to have this $10,000 taxpayer-funded celebration of homosexuality, which covered 15 city blocks. So this permit was just simply to shut down the streets. It wasn't an exclusive use permit, and even if it was, that still wouldn't do anything other than have the streets closed. That's what the intention was of the permit that they were issued. But the judge was saying that because of the safety concerns, they had a right under these time, place, and manner restrictions to keep peace and order to move us elsewhere. And our position is, as you just noted, with the heckler's vetoes, no, the police need to control the crowd. The police need to arrest those who are acting disorderly. And that would calm the situation. And that's why we were telling the police while we were there, they don't have a right to be blocking us and obstructing our way and our message. And that's interesting because his decision notes that, but yet it's against us.
Yeah.
That coupled by the fact that they had this permit, which was simply to block off 15 city blocks in order to have their celebration of homosexuality, that doesn't close down the right of way for the public to use the sidewalks. We have businesses in there. There's people's homes that are in there. There's all kinds of things that people would have to have access to. So this was just simply to shut the streets down from traffic flow.
Well, I mean, I've dealt with that whole concept of, and other people have as well. Can the city just shut off a big area for one private group to have a party, basically? And the answer is yes, they can issue a permit for a special event, but they cannot shut out the public and they cannot shut out free speech. Absolutely not. And again, the heckler's veto, this is settled legal doctrine. And so this man has gone against it. It's very, very dangerous. Michael, you know, this should have been open and shut. I mean, if there wasn't homosexuals involved, I think it would have been in any other case. But I want to point out something else. I think this further highlights the danger of so-called hate crime laws, not just hate speech laws, but hate crime laws, because they indoctrinate the public with the concept that sodomites deserve to be held as a privileged class above the law applied to other citizens. You know, it's unequal justice under the law. And these judges too often get away with this sort of thing. He would have never handed down a ruling like this if it would have been, I don't know, some Harley Davidson group having some sort of party and someone wanted to go in and hand out political tracts or gospel tracts even maybe. But it's the homosexuals, don't you agree? I mean, they get this kind of treatment.
Oh, without question. And he was relying heavily on a decision out of, I believe it's Massachusetts, where there was a group of homosexuals that wanted to get into a St. Patrick's Day parade, some Catholic parade of some kind. And they said no, and the courts ruled in the favor of the organizers of the parade, saying that they don't have to include you. But there's a huge difference in this case. That wasn't that the homosexuals couldn't go and picket the parade if they so choose. So that's kind of the similar situation here where he's saying that The streets were all in that area a permitted event, and therefore we couldn't enter. But he fails to neglect the fact that we're not trying to participate in the activities of the event, but rather have an opportunity to be in the public streets and sidewalks just as anyone else.
Yeah, and he fails to recognize that you didn't go in there and here's some, I don't know, some guy standing on the stage and making some speech. You didn't go in there then and get right in front of the stage, crank up your amplification, try to drown him out. That would have been a different situation. You weren't doing that.
Exactly, and that's what's very troubling. Here's what he said in his decision. He said the activity in question took place in a public forum and that there is no doubt that the venue for Outfest, a designated section of streets and sidewalks of Philadelphia, was a public place. But he still concluded that once the city issued a permit, no, this is a permit to block off the streets just to have this celebration, to Philly Pride for Outfest, it was empowered to enforce the permit by excluding persons expressing contrary messages. Mm. So that's where this comes into play here, is that he's saying our message was different and therefore we didn't have a right to be in the public square.
Is this guy just trying to push the envelope as far as he can? Now you're getting into content-based discrimination, which is really unconstitutional. So he's gonna grab that one and turn it on its head, too.
It is. This judge simply did not follow the law. Instead, he made up his own law. And we need to have this overturned. If it is not overturned, it will affect people in many different ways. It will give the ability for police to interpret the law as such and will allow them to arrest people. When people become upset with someone's message, all they have to do is get a group of people to get upset with the message and go there and the police arrest the speaker. And that's not what the law says. And that's why that part of the decision is really troubling to me, as well as the decision that he made concerning the permit situation, where he's saying that events that are open to the public and held in public places can now have event organizers eject people because they have a quote-unquote contrary message. It's very troubling.
Yeah, I mean, this is the city square, essentially, which is this should be pristine First Amendment territory, as many courts have described it. I want to deal with another aspect that's very dangerous and troubling, Michael. Okay, the police arrested you, dragged you out of there. They threw you into jail for 21 hours, I think it was. They then released you, but you were charged with a number of misdemeanors and felonies. You were looking at what amounted to life imprisonment for some of the older people, and certainly a long, long, long imprisonment even for you, Michael. I mean, 47 years. Huge fines, huge fines. They forced you to fight for your lives in court, basically, and for your property in court. And of course, that's expensive and time-consuming. Then, of course, those charges were thrown out. The officials were essentially seen as being in grave error. All the charges are dismissed. But, Michael, I mean, there's no consequences. I mean, that's very, very dangerous. I mean, we shouldn't forget that aspect. I mean, what's to stop police from just, even if the charges are going to be thrown out, from arresting, dragging you away from a place you feel led of the Lord to witness? You can't witness if you're in jail. Now you're in jail. You go through 21 hours in jail, which can be not any picnic. Then you have to go through a court case, and then they say, oh, okay, I guess you're right, we're wrong, okay. I mean, what's to stop them from doing it over and over and over, eventually getting a conviction maybe from the right judge, putting Christians in jail for life, for simply sharing the word of God in public? What's to stop them from doing that?
There is nothing stopping them. I mean, it paves the way for the harassment of Christians, and that's why it's disturbing to us, because we need to follow the Lord and being able to minister to those in the public square. And then that's what we do as Christians. We go out to them and let them know that there is hope and freedom from their sin if they would repent. And if we can't do that, if we're going to be harassed by the police and they show up and say, you can't be here or you can't say that because people are offended, we're going to start facing jail time. And if the same mindset is with the judge, and thankfully in this case, judge in the Commonwealth Court there, the Philadelphia County Court of Common Pleas, Judge Pamela Denby, she did not see that. Her mindset was not the same as the prosecution. But this whole hate crime situation where they attempted to say that our message was hateful and therefore That combined with the fact that there was a potential riot situation that we could have been charged under that. I'm thankful she didn't see it that way. But all it takes is one judge with the same mindset as the prosecution or the jury having that same mindset, and that's why the introduction of hate crimes on a federal level are also concerning to us.
Yeah.
But we're going to press forward and try to do what we can to get this case overturned.
So you have some legal options, of course, and you can appeal this. And I would like to ask people to pray for you. I would like to ask people to pray for all the people involved. I'd like to ask people to pray for the attorneys. And I'd like to ask people to not lose sight of this case. We'll try and keep them updated. I know how appeals can go. It can be a long, drawn-out thing. But we'll issue updates when they become available. And who knows, in the coming months, there might be a need for other sort of help, maybe even financial help at some point. You never know. And so people ought to be, you know, on their knees for this and also be keeping track of it. What sort of reaction has there been to this decision? I suppose the sodomites are rejoicing and the media, much of the media.
Yes, it would seem the Associated Press and the Philadelphia Inquirer and the Philadelphia Daily News, in fact, I first heard about the case and its decision from the Philadelphia Daily News online, and I had heard about that because it just came down on, when it came down, it was on a weekend, the next day that the article appeared in the paper, so I didn't hear from our attorneys that soon, so they phrased our message as being anti-gay, as they usually do in these types of stories, and you know, we're anti-homosexual behavior, of course, but they don't want to get into what the, the homosexuals do. But we're pretty much trying to get the message out because this is so important to us, and of course to every American. And although We continually are losing our liberties. These are God-given liberties that we as Christians must do what we can to uphold, and that's why we're going to be appealing this decision to the Third Circuit. So we encourage people to pray about this because it's not only going to affect us, but this has set a precedent in federal court which can be used across the country as persuasive in much of this situation, but binding, especially here in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania.
Well, that's the whole thing. When you get into district or federal district court, when a decision is issued in the district court, it's binding in that district. But then when you go up higher and you start getting into the higher courts from there, I mean, if you go all the way to the Supreme Court and you lose, then we're in real trouble. But what choice do you have if you're able to go all the way and they accept such a case as this, which I think this would be tailor-made for the Supreme Court if it comes to it, but we will see what we will see. But I guess you've reminded us of an awful lot of things to pray about. You've reminded us of the danger of this homofascism, which is sweeping the country. You've reminded us of the danger of hate crime laws and also hate speech laws. You've reminded us the danger of just sitting back and saying, well, that's Michael Markavich and that's that homosexual issue, that doesn't affect us. Well, of course, it affects everyone who believes that we have a duty and a commission to take the Word of God out to the world, which, of course, that should be every Christian that believes that. Michael, we are out of time here, but we will just, again, encourage people to pray for you. And is there anything else they can do at this point? Just stand by, I suppose.
Well, yes, we all need to stand by in prayer, and we'll just see what we can do as far as trying to get this decision overturned for all of our freedoms to be exercised.
And I imagine there's more information on your website, too, isn't there?
Yes, people can visit us at www.repentamerica.com for more information about the details of this case.
All right, Michael, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.